mother. And it was wonderful to have the kids walking through during the poems this morning. You know, George asked me, he said, what's the plan with poems? What's wrong? I said, I don't know. I wasn't consulted. But that's okay. I want you to know that we all have freedom to worship here. And somebody asked, was it all right if I, you know, come forward during worship time to meet God? And he said, yes. If you need to sit during worship time, then that's when you worship. Wonderful. If you need to stand up in the back, if you need to dance around a little bit, it's okay. You want to grab a ball and march around it. Lord God, that is awesome. We have freedom to worship Him however the Lord leads. Okay? I don't need to be consulted on how you worship. Okay? The Lord is leading you in worship. That's all the concentration you need. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Please feel free to worship the Lord as He leads. It was good to see you this morning. I want to encourage you all of us. So it's Palm Sunday. We are completing our time in Seek God for the City. And most of you will put complaints next week. The Visitation of the King. I want to have you ask a question. Have you truly received the King? On Palm Sunday, some 2,000 years ago, approximately, Jesus was received as the King of the Jews as he entered into Jerusalem. Let's read from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, starting at the 12th verse. It says, the next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the King of Israel! Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon him as you do not be afraid of what is coming. See, your King is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. Now the crowd was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, see, this is getting no us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning and give you praise because you indeed are our King. Lord, that we receive you truly as King and not just be caught up in the moment. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that I preach your word, you would anoint me to speak your word following truth. Reveal yourself to each person here, Lord. Let you and your Holy Spirit be manifested presently in this day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus was hailed as King. Hosanna, it was a cry that was given for the King. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. This is what they were shouting. They were laying down their cloths and coverings so that they would take off the jacket. Go down. Not just for Jesus, just for these right now, donkey. For the donkey to step on. Okay, you're honoring him. And number two, was I'm so traditional, I might consider laying out my jacket to Donna. If Donna was riding on a donkey, not gonna happen. It's not. But yet, this was the level of reverence that they were showing at this time. The palms. We refer to this as Paul's side. They were taking palms down and covering the robe. Now, we roll up the red carpet is our tradition. And we have a head of steak for a living and they bring up this little red carpet. You go down to the airlines and they have the sky gray and they have a little red carpet. You go to the Academy Awards, they have a red carpet for the important people. Not everybody went on red carpet, only those who are important. Now, I get to understand how you qualify in the box at the Academy Awards, but that's another story. Hold it, Richie. But here he was, very seated as king that time. These were the elixirs to him. But what happened? Just a couple days later, on Friday, we go to the Gospel of John. Beginning on in chapter 18. Turn to verse 36. And Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king," answered Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born. And for this I came into the world, to testify the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. He went out again to the Jews and said, "I find no basis for charge against him. Is your custom for me to release one prisoner at the time of council? Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" And shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas said, "Taking part in rebellion." Let's understand some relationships here. A king is not just the boss. It's just not the person who has authority. King literally means God-ordained supreme ruler. He is the one who has the authority of high and low justice. What's that? Life and death. Everything from whether or not you get to breathe another breath to whether or not you need to give up your egg to the neighbor because it was noble. It was actually laid by their chicken in your yard. If you ever had chicken around, you know that dogs stayed in one spot. That's the kind of petty thing for the king to do. It's his responsibility. He is the one that's responsible for law and order. It is he who is responsible to see that the nation is protected, that his people are ruled over well, and that their needs are met. The form of the danger comes or a threat comes against the people, whether it be something like an invading force or something like famine, then it's the king's responsibility to see to it that his people are cared for. And the king is not somebody who is elected. the city, the God of Dan, the given by God. This is the person who God has set up and said, this is the man. In God's word, we see this revealed when first King Saul was anointed as king, and then later he had his prophet Samuel remove that anointing and take it and place it over David. And David is anointed as king. It comes from God. The people didn't get out and say, okay, who do we think is going to be this king? Who's the wisest from us? Who's the strongest from us? Who is... No, God says, God is the king. Okay, so that's king. Rebellion is somebody who is fighting against the king, who is refusing to be obedient to the king. So those who've been put in God ordained authority over them. That is rebellion. Jesus is the king. But he sees him as such. He's been such. On the first day of the week, here we are. On the sixth day of the week. And this is the wine. We want to have rebellion. We want to embrace rebellion. We don't want to embrace the king. We need to say people are running down the clothes, putting down the palm branches. Have they truly received the king? That's a question. Have we not? Should be the response of the people when the king shows up. In a short little bit, I'm sure, about 40 seconds. But you see here, this is a little piece from Robin Hood, that's a piece. Comes from the very end of the movie. Sean Connery has a little cameo spot in here. And he is. Grace and peace to you from him who is, who was, and is to come, and from the seven spirits before the throne, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom, a priest, to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierce him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, he who is and was and is to come, the Almighty. Okay, first off, we see that Jesus here is the firstborn. Amen. He is the ruler of kings. Okay, if one is a king of kings, it's not just the king of this group, but if you're the king of kings, he's the king of every group. He was the Almighty, the personal, but the Almighty. This is Jesus. And move on to chapter 4 in Revelation. Read this for me. Just the first three verses here. This is in the throne room of heaven. So after this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Go up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." And once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, a rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. You can't even describe them. It just has an appearance. It looks something like this. This is the throne room. And moving on to chapter 5. And what I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne, a scroll. Now, who sits on the throne? The king. You don't sit on the throne if you're not king. So it's the king sitting on the throne. Right here, him sitting on the throne, a scroll was writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in all voices, "Work! Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside." Then one of the angel elders said, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, is triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and seven seals." Then I saw a lamb looking as if he had been slain, standing in the center of the throne. The lamb who was slain is Jesus. The one who is sitting on the throne, the one who is standing on the throne, is the same. When he's standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and four elders, he has seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent into all the earth. And he came and took the scroll from his right hand and him who sat on the throne. And he had taken the four living creatures and four elders, fell down before the Lamb, and each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they say to me, "Son, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God. And they will reign on the earth." And I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and elders in a loud voice and said, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, facing power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." They heard every creature in heaven and earth and under the sea and in the sea, all of them singing to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, who praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. They got down before their king. You got down before the king. And you submitted your will to your king's. trying to tell this guy an argument. That went down, I should have. My mother grew up Episcopal. My father grew up Methodist. Someone went to Lutheran Church. I grew up knowing Jesus as my Savior. I knew all about the Savior part. Jesus died for my sins. He did it for me. And I'm so awesome. He loved me so much, he did it for me. There wasn't a whole lot of teaching about the whole worship part. That he's the one who's in control. It wasn't until I really was at Church of the Open Door in Princeton, Minnesota, and sitting under the teaching of Gail Stone, the pastor up there, that God really got a hold of my heart and told me what the difference was between having Jesus as just my Savior and having him as my Lord and Savior was. See, if he's my Lord, that means he's Lord of all or not Lord at all. Have you heard that little phrase? Maybe you haven't, but if he is my Lord, if he is my King, that means I have submitted my will to his. Or else he's my King and I am rebellion. Now the reality is that he is the King. That is the reality. When we go to Revelation chapter 19, starting with verse 11, we see the rider on the white horse, and we see this return of the one coming on the clouds, and we see this. Verse 11, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True, who's just with justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and his head are many crowns. But the name written on him that no one knows but himself, he is dressed in a robe dipped in blood. And his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven are following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule over them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty, and in his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If he is Lord, then I cannot be, or else I am in rebellion. I am Barabbas. If Jesus is not your Lord, you are Barabbas. You're saying, crucify him, let me go free. Not because you're submitting to his will and agreeing to what he's done for you, but out of rebellion. This is not receiving the work of Jesus for salvation. This is rebellion. I don't think I selected this one, but in chapter 19, chapter 20, verse 11, I didn't tell the playlist for him. Said, I then saw a great white throne, and he was seated on earth. And sky fled from his presence, there was no place for him. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were open, and the book was open, which the book of life and the dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. The one question that we're judged on is, what have we done with Jesus? Have we received him as our Lord or not? That's what it boils down to. Have we received Jesus as our Lord or have we not? we have, his righteousness covers over all our righteousness. If we have it, we can stand in our own righteousness. And the truth is, none of us can stand in our own righteousness. Because we've broken one part of the law, we've broken the entirety of the law. And even though we've done good things, we still have to pay the penalty for breaking the law. I've done good things in my life, a lot of good things. You know what? I also broke the law and got arrested. I've made some penalties for that. I got speeding tickets and I paid a penalty for that. I got caught in something as a kid. Now, I did some great things as a kid. I was awesome to my mother on Mother's Day. And my father, I remember just making great little cards and doing things, but you know what? When I broke the rules, I still had to pay the price. Was it because my parents were unjust? No, it was because that needed to be done in order to show me the error of my ways. It was called discipline and correction. But ultimately, there was also judgment. What we've been shown here is that Jesus has provided for us the way out from judgment. Because there's not one of us that can pay the price with single sacrifice. He is indeed the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the one who is over all. In Revelation 22, verse 16, says, this is Jesus speaking, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony to the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. David is the one whom God anointed through his priest Saul, Samuel. He came. He is the King. He's the one through whom God's mercy and grace flows. Verse 20 says, he who testifies to these things says, this is speaking, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come with Jesus. So he is coming soon. When Jesus comes, are we going to be like Robin Hood and his followers who were seeking after the King's kingdom? And when we see the King, will we bow before him and be received by him as his faithful followers? Or are we going to be more like Prince John, who was trying to usurp his brother's place? The sheriff of Nottingham, who decided to go any farther and try to usurp the rightful authority, was going to try to marry in. And then made marry in. She's a wild one. He did not even have some claim on a kingdom. And yet he could be, he could call himself the King. This is what we do when we don't see Jesus as our Lord. We say, I'm in charge of this part of my life, and God, yeah, I'm in charge of this over here, but this is the part that I'm in charge of. Do you have a part of your life where you say, God is not loving him? I have a final say. If you have a part of your life where God does not have a final say, then I dare say that you are in rebellion. And you are just like the people who received Jesus on Palm Sunday and said, crucify him, give us Barabbas, understand. and I didn't understand that my king, what a king is and how he is Lord, what that means. It means submission of my will and it lifting up of his will. But just as I preach and teach in the marriage classes that I do with couples, submitting to one another doesn't mean that one gets drawn down and the other gets lifted up. I mean, somehow steps up on them. It means that we bow down and lift the other up and hold each other up. Now, within a marriage, it's equals working together to hold one another up. They submit one to another. Now, as we submit to God, we're holding him up. But he, as Lord, it is his job to hold us up. He says, don't worry for the things of sin. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about yourself. Don't worry about anything. That's my job. What are we supposed to worry about? We're supposed to give him. We're supposed to give him priority in everything. Not most things. Not 95% of it. Not even 99.9% of it. But 100%. Ask yourself the question, have you truly received the king? Are you truly receiving the king? Or are you just one standing caught up in the hoopla saying, hey, look, the parade! It's that question. It's not only you can answer. I can't answer it for you. Other than to say you need to answer that question. This Palm Sunday, as we prepare for Good Friday and Easter, ask yourself, have you truly received the King? Are you ready for his soon appearing? He says he's coming soon. I don't know what that means. But I do know that none of us know if one will go to him on an individual basis. And when he's going to come and face this world and hold the world as a whole to judgment on a corporate basis, I don't know that either. Pastor, you don't know that. That's right. I don't. I do not connect him. That I need something to him in everything. And that if I love you, I'm alone. And that if you don't, you are alone. That's the standard. That's what he's asked us to do. To believe on him as our Lord and Savior. It's not just enough to say, he didn't go up to me. I don't have to worry. We also must put his will before our own. And trust in him and his plan, whatever it might be. Not an easy thing to do. But if that's what we're called to do. So one of the ways that them gates now and few come home. It's hard. It's hard to do. Because most of us have some part in our life where we don't want to give it up. So ask yourself, have you truly received the King? For if you have, you will bow before him and worship him. And he will bless you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we have today. We thank you, Lord, that you indeed, our Lord, Almighty, there is none who is greater than you. And you look forward to all things in death. And you make provision for your own people. those who are called by your name, those who receive you as Lord and Savior. Now we do so. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.